Thanks, Jeremiah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. There's joy. There's peace. There's blessings that are beyond measure right now, too. I want to share with you today a message that I put together that I hope will give you a better understanding of the nature of God. You know, when we read the words of the scriptures and we see how God brings it to life in our own lives, it's important for us to understand what the very nature is of God. So today, the topic that I'm going to share with you is the sevenfold Spirit of God. Now, some of you may have learned or been taught what the sevenfold Spirit of God is, but I'm hoping today that I can bring some points out to you that are very important in our own life and in our own walk with Him. Let me begin by saying this. The mind of Christ is a divine sevenfold process, okay? It's a sevenfold process that begins with the first thing, and that is the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. He desires to impart to us not only all of God's supernatural thoughts, which is His wisdom, but also through understanding of those thoughts, and then importantly, counsel as to which thoughts are appropriate for our own situation. Then He wants to give us the supernatural strength to implement those thoughts in our lives and the personal experiential knowledge of seeing those thoughts manifested in our life. In other words, brought to the reality today. And then also, and lastly, the ability to walk in the fear of the Lord, not in the fear of man, but by fleeing anything that would quench His Spirit in us. Amen? Let's go ahead and begin, if you've got your Bible, to open up to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 11, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by sight, but by his eyes, nor decide by hearing of his ears. What we're describing here in the book of Isaiah is the very nature of God, the Spirit, His Spirit. Why is that important for us to understand? Because if we know that the Holy Spirit lives within us, it's essential that we understand what is the nature of the Spirit and how does He empower us? How does He grow and how does He build us to be in His Word day in and day out? So I'm going to break down each of these parts of the seven spirit today. Now, it's important to know that the number seven is very, very important to God. The number seven stands for completeness, okay, or completion. So what we just read from Isaiah 11, 1 through 3, the Spirit of the Lord is a true and living spirit from God. It's a true and living spirit inside of us when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Turn your Bible now to Luke. I'm going to bring you to a verse in chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel of the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim what? The acceptable year of the Lord. That is the Spirit of the Lord in essence. That's the first one of the seven natures of God. Now let's go to the second one. That is the Spirit of wisdom. Well, what is that, Terry? Jesus demonstrated it during His early ministry. And we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians now, chapter 1 and verse 30. It says that Jesus became for us wisdom from God, okay? He became our chief intercessor, right? So He became the wisdom of us from God. And it is not just that Jesus has wisdom. He is wisdom. He is wisdom. So look at this verse. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and what? Redemption. We were bought with a price. God sent his only begotten Son to this world that he may testify to the truth. He died on the cross. He shed his blood for you and I. And he did something never done before. He rose again. He rose again on the third day and now is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. So where does the spirit of wisdom come from? It comes from him. It comes from God. Our chief intercessor is Jesus Christ. He gives us God's wisdom. Where's another place we find his wisdom? We go into our Bible all the time, right? We open up the Word of God, the infallible Word of God. What does it say on the sign out there? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. So the second one is the Spirit of wisdom. Now let's talk about the third part of the sevenfold Spirit, and that is the Spirit of understanding. Jesus, my friends, understands all things. He understands you and I perfectly. He understands the very nature. He knows what we're going to do every waking second, every moment. He already has that. Turn to the book of Hebrews here for a minute. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. He is our sympathetic high priest. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are. He came in the flesh, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to what? The throne of grace. Grace is a big word, isn't it? It's an important word. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in what? Our times of need. Can you imagine, had Jesus not died on the cross, why would we even be gathering here today? Would there even be a reason for it? I don't think so. That is so important to understand, that the spirit of understanding comes from Jesus Christ, and it comes from the Holy Spirit that indwells in you and I. So there's the first three: the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding. Now let's turn to the fourth part of the Spirit of God and the sevenfold, and that is the Spirit of counsel. He has perfect counsel to give us, by the way, at all times, not just sometimes. He has perfect counsel to give you and I at all times. He has wisdom and understanding to be the perfect counselor. He has the things that you and I don't have. That's why Jesus said, I'm sending you a message. The Holy Spirit is what gives us that spirit of counsel. Look at Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise what? Counsel. A wise man will receive wise counsel. I don't know about you, but one of the most difficult things that I had to learn to accept was critique. Somebody would come up and they would criticize me or would say something to me that got under my skin, and my immediate retaliation was, well, I'll tell them the truth. I'll tell them that. We have to understand that wisdom comes from understanding God's nature. Sometimes it's better, because God gave us two ears and one tongue, to just listen. Sometimes we speak when we shouldn't be speaking. We should be quiet. The Holy Spirit knows that and gives us counsel. We'll put these all together as we go further in our journey. So stay in tune here. Okay, so now we have the first four: the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel. Let's talk about the fifth one, and that is the Spirit of might. Okay? Strength, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of strength. He has the power to do what he desires to do. Do you know that? God has the power to do whatever he desires to do. Everything. While many would help us if they could, many people would try to do the things that maybe God could only do, they can't. Because why? We're powerless without him. Plug into the power source. Who's the power source? God. Others may have the power to help, We lift each other up. We pray for each other, right? We edify each other. We weren't called in this world to walk alone. But understanding that some people may not really care, as a matter of fact, we know that, some people really don't care the situation that you're in. We would hope they do with friends and family and compassion, but Jesus has both the love and the might and the power and the strength to help us. In times of trouble, he is our rock. He's our cornerstone. The words of Scripture says the cornerstone of Christ there. The stone that the builders reject is now the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation. He gives us our strength. He gives us everything we need. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in what? The power of God. Who's speaking this? Paul. Paul's describing to the Corinthians that his power does not come from him. It doesn't come from mankind. It comes from only God. You with me? So now we have the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might or strength. And now we get to one that's very important. That's the Spirit of knowledge. He knows everything, including our hearts. He has the knowledge that you and I, we don't have. So it shouldn't surprise us that sometimes his decisions seem rather illogical or strange. We question those things. Why? Because God knows things that you and I can't even fathom. He has the knowledge. You tap into the power source, that gift of the Holy Spirit, and that's where your knowledge comes from. Look at what it says in Proverbs 1:7. I learned this a long time ago. The fear of the Lord is what? It's the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let me read that again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Schools do too. I guess there was a reason why I was thinking that in my mind there too. So there's the sixth one. It's the Spirit of knowledge. Now let's go to number 7. What would that be? Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Well, why would we want to have the Spirit of the fear of the Lord? Let me tell you why. He subjects himself to the authority of the Father, willingly keeping himself in a place of submission, respect, and honor to him. Look at Proverbs chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of what? Refuge. The fear of the Lord is what? It's the fountain of life, to turn away from the snares of death. That's why healthy fear is the fear of the Lord, not the fear of man, but the fear of the Lord. That's important to you, and it's important to me. Knowing these 7 things that we just talked about that bring up the very nature, the sevenfold Spirit of God, let's talk more in detail about that. When I say the Spirit of God, in Hebrew it's referred to as the Spirit of Yahweh. Yahweh being God. Jesus being Yeshua. And the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew, means Jesus the Messiah. The 7 characteristics that we're talking about, the sevenfold spirit, are manifestations or expressions of the Holy Spirit, and they don't mean 7 different spirits of God. Now let me make a distinction here. I said sevenfold for a reason. Well, what does that mean? That means that we need to know that grouped together, all of these 7 that we talked about show the fullness and perfection of the Holy Spirit. What number did we talk about earlier? 7, right? What does 7 stand for? Perfection, completion. 7, the number 7 is very important to God. Jesus lived and ministered as a man filled with the Spirit of God, right? The wisdom, the understanding, the counsel, the might, the knowledge, and the fear of the Lord that Jesus displayed in his own ministry flowed not from his deity, but from the reliance on the Spirit of the Lord who filled him all the time. Every time he spoke was in the Spirit of the Lord. Today, the church, you and I, were the bride of Christ, and we're commanded to be filled with what? The Holy Spirit. First of all, we cannot possess the mind of Christ unless we first have what? The Spirit of God that has to be in our hearts. How will we ever understand these things without the gift of the Holy Spirit? Unless we have asked Jesus Christ to come into our hearts and have become, we cannot experience what the true Spirit of God is. Look at John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot what? He cannot see the kingdom of God." Is it important for us to have the gift of the Holy Spirit? I would say so. And if you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit, I'm not assuming any one of you have not, but if you have not, today is the day of salvation. Don't wait any longer. Now is the time to receive the free gift. Let's talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit for a minute. In review, the Holy Spirit, it ministers to us. He ministers to us, his people, in a variety of ways. That's you and I. Before we belong to God, before we have asked him into our hearts, now think back, before you gave your life to Christ, the Spirit of the Lord comes alongside us. And he works with us, leading and guiding us to who? To Christ. He convicts us of our sin, and then he reveals Christ is the answer to the sin. It's like a doctor that's going to prescribe a solution, an antidote to the illness and the problem that you have. He first has to know what the problem is, but if he sees the problem and it's based on maybe a habitual thing that we're doing, he's going to expose that sin so that we understand that he has the answer, no one else. That's why we call him the great physician. Amen. The moment we ask Jesus Christ to be our Savior, the Holy Spirit then comes in us, indwells in us, in our hearts to dwell permanently. This is the time God's Spirit becomes the indwelling power source, energy source. It's the light source of our lives. And I love the way it's explained in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of a man is what? The lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. This tells us that our human spirit is like a candle. It's like a candle. When we ask God to come into our hearts, God himself lights the candle of our spirit, and we become one spirit with him. If you ever gone into a dark room and lit a candle, all that darkness flees away, doesn't it? All of a sudden you see all this light on the walls. That's exactly what God does to it. He gives us that candle through the gift of the Holy Spirit that we can see through the darkness when others are blind to the dark. That's a pretty full, powerful spirit. It's what I want. How about you? Look at 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit with him. Wow. That's encouraging. That through him, we are one spirit with him. Now look at Romans for a minute. Romans 8:9. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in what? The Spirit. And if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, what? He is not his. There's the warning. Today is the day of salvation. If you've never received the gift of Holy, who would not want the gift of the Holy Spirit? Lots don't. But I look at us and I look at the family of God and say, what do we have in common? It's God's Spirit that lives inside each and every one of us. When we walk through that door, we know one thing. This is God's house. Okay? Some say, well, it's Trenton and Natalie's church. No, but it's God's house. And Pastor Kerry would be the first person to say, this is God's house. So when we come into God's house, we need to come in the Spirit of the God. Amen? Okay, next, there needs to be time when the Spirit of God, that light source, that candle we're talking about, is released from our hearts to come upon our lives for the sake of enlightening and empowering us, okay, that source. There are times that we need that. Look at the book of Acts. Brother Nathan this morning was preaching out of the book of Acts. Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with what? The Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What do we call that? We call that Pentecost, the time of Pentecost. Jesus promised that I will send to you a keeper. And he sent the gift of the Holy Spirit. It speaks about God's Spirit coming upon them so they might have power to become genuine witnesses to him. Do you know that our testimony is a witness of God's love, of his desire that none should perish but have eternal life? We are a witness to that. Amen. This empowering of the Spirit is sometimes called in the Bible the baptism of the Spirit. When you receive power from above and that power of the Spirit. Now, I believe God intended the last two ministries that we just talked about in the Holy Spirit, the indwelling where he comes in us and the empowering of the Spirit. I believe that he wanted that to happen simultaneously. But let's be honest. Many of us in this room, that wasn't the case. The empowering happened many, many years later. Sometimes it took a long time to understand the power of the Holy Spirit, that all of a sudden the light comes on one day and says, that's what I needed to hear. That's what I needed to know. God's timing is perfect, isn't it? It's so powerful how he works. If you're not sure that God's Spirit has come into you, you need to simply ask God today for this empowering in your life. Lord, give me the power. Empower me with the light so that I may be able to walk in your full sevenfold. Ask him. Look at Luke 11, verses 11 through 13. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Do you see where Jesus was going here? What he was speaking and what he meant is that ask the Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ask Jesus into your life today. Without this, Scripture tells us, you and I, we'd be lifeless. Look at 2 Timothy 3:5. I have a lot of scriptures today I'm showing you because I want you to understand this full nature, what the sevenfold Spirit means. Having a form of godliness, but what? Denying its power. And from such people do what? Turn away. Get out of there. In this world, you will have trials. You will have temptations. But Jesus said, but behold, I've overcome the world. You and I have overcome the world if we stand in his power and in his strength. I also believe that producing our spirituality out of the own human power and ability, that doesn't work. Look at the lives of people around you, people that you know that are non-believers. Look at their life. When they get into crisis mode, when they have a real problem, it's like the world's going to end and there is no hope and no peace. Instead of coming to you and saying, would you pray for me or would you pray with me? It's, you have no idea the problem I'm going through. You have no idea. I have this, I have this. Ask. Ask of God. That gift of the Holy Spirit, oh, it's powerful. Don't get me started. I could preach that. That's an important thing. 1 Corinthians 12:3, I love this. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Amen. This tells us that it is a much, much more excellent way through the Holy Spirit. We all have heard of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Look at what it says in Galatians 5:22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is what? No law. And those who are Christ have been crucified, the flesh, with its passions and its desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. No one should ever need to ask if we are Spirit-filled or not. Do you know that? I mean, if I'm walking around and talking and jabbering for my own selfish interests, I'm probably not walking in the Spirit of the Lord. But if the Spirit is really, truly inside of us, nobody should ever question. Because they see it. They see that you're different. They see that you're unique. We're a peculiar people in this world. But behold, Jesus overcame the world, and we will too. Amen? That's a good thing. Our life action should be so loving, so empowered, so full of wisdom, that that's all the witness they need. They just see it and they go, look at Denny. He's on fire with the Lord. God lives in him. Look at Angel. Look at how she speaks of me in front of others as a witness. God sees those things inside each and every one of us. Finally, once the Spirit has been released from our heart upon our souls, there should be a constant refilling. What does that mean, Terry? That means there needs to be a refilling of the Spirit each day, all day long. The Greek word for Spirit and the refilling is called pleroo, and that means to fill up a hollow or to be made complete. God wants to take those holes in there and he wants to fill our cup. God's Holy Spirit desires to continually refill us and cleanse us and the empty vessels, therefore making us what? The number 7, complete, perfection. How about the book of Ephesians 5:18? I love how Paul spoke to the churches. It says in Ephesians 5:18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with what? The Spirit. So when somebody comes to you and say, would you like to enjoy some spirits with me? You say, yes, but can I talk to you about my spirit? It's a lot better than your spirit. For those of us that have problems with addictions, I don't care whatever that may be, what spirit are you living today? Are you living in the spirit of the world? Are you under the influence of the spirit of the evil one? Or are you under God's spirit? Where do you have the power to overcome? Only through Jesus Christ. And that lives within us with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. In other words, it's an ongoing process, my friends. We're always going to receive sanctification if we ask for it. God's going to teach us. The indwelling of the Spirit and the empowering by the Spirit are gifts from God and are free for the asking. You don't have to pay for these free things. They're there. However, the continual refilling in our souls by the Holy Spirit depends on our own choices moment by moment. In other words, we have a choice that we can make. And how we refill depends on how we ask and what we do by our actions. In other words, it's our own responsibility to remain an open, cleansed, and yielded vehicle, a vessel, so that God's Spirit from our hearts can continually fill us up. There's a song, a worship song called Fill Me Up, Lord. Fill Me Up. That's what we're talking about. I think one of the best examples in the Bible that I can say of a Spirit-filled man that went through an amazing transformation would be the story of Paul, previously known as what? Saul. Saul was a Roman citizen. He was a Jew and he was a Pharisee. He came from a wealthy and religious background, but he hated Christians. We are first introduced to Saul at the martyrdom of Stephen, and he is thereafter mentioned many times in connection with the persecution of the church. He invaded Christian churches. He tore Christians from their homes. And by his own admission, he persecuted them beyond measure. That was Saul. In Galatians 1:13, this is where Paul speaks and says, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure, and I tried to destroy it." Do you realize that Paul, while he was chasing Christians to the city of Damascus, the proud and persecuting Saul, was dramatically converted by God to the loving and helpful Paul? You can read that story in the book of Acts. For the sake of time today, we won't go into it, but you know the story. Many of you have read that many times. God's Spirit not only dramatically was revealed through Christ as the answer, but he also came upon Saul in one of those most moving experiences in history. And that's described on the road to Damascus. Paul was blinded for 3 days after the incident. And then God sent Ananias to put his hands on Saul so that he might receive his sight. And this is most important, be filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit. The rest was history. Look at Ephesians 3:19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. My friends, if there's anything I could tell you today that is the most important thing that you can walk out of here with, is to know and crave and desire the fullness of God. To have every part and piece of the sevenfold Spirit of God living and breathing inside of you. I was so excited when I first read the stories and understood what Paul went through, how he was filled with the Spirit, and what his instructions were. You know, and one of my favorite life verses, Ken and I share this in common, is Romans 12:2. What does it say in Romans 12:2? "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by" what? "The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The renewing of our mind. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Until we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, our mind can't be fully renewed. But through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can be fully restored and fully renewed. Somebody give me an amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 5 and 6. Casting down what? Arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to what? The obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience with your obedience is fulfilled. So we can stay filled with His Spirit. I'm here to tell you, you want blessings in your life? Do you really want blessings in your life today? You want to experience blessings? Start being obedient to God's Word. Because when we're obedient to God's Word, God blesses us. I've watched this happen in my own life. Somebody once asked me, they said, "Well, Terry, how do you start being obedient?" Read God's Word. What does He say? I said, "Well, some of that's way back there in that Old Testament stuff, the Ten Commandments. They're just as good today as they were back then." Read them. Understand them. You want to experience obedience in your life, because when you start to become obedient, God wants to bless you. And He blesses you in ways that we can't even fathom. Why? Because He loves us that much. There's other people sitting here in this room right now that I know went through battles in their life and went through recovery. I did in my own life. 13 years ago, I was a wreck. I thought I understood everything in the world. I was chasing after the American dream. But what I was really doing is I was building a sandcastle to watch it all get washed away. And it did, because the storms came. And it did. It took it all away. And when I was standing there with nothing left, broken, and at a mission over in Redding, California, not knowing why in the world at 49 years of age, I was at a mission. I was laying on a bunk bed one night and I saw this big light kept coming through the window. And I went over there and I thought, "Oh man, I'm going to shut these blinds. I need to get some sleep." And as I went to shut the blinds, I looked up to see where the light was coming from. And you know what? There was this big white cross that said, "Jesus saves." And I thought, wow, is that a sign? wow, maybe God wanted me here for a reason. Maybe this is how he's getting my attention. I looked down at myself and I said, all I got is this jeans that I have on and a t-shirt. Everything else is gone. What happened? That's when the most powerful revelation from God came upon me. What he said to me is, Terry, it was never yours to begin with. I gave it to you. And when I came to that revelation, understand he can give and he can take away, I understood who was in control. And that if I was going to receive blessings and my life be restored, I needed to be obedient to his word. His word. Amen. We're on the home stretch. There's a lot of people today that are confused. A lot of people that are confused. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to figure out right now that the world has gone mad. Turn on the TV, turn on the media, go to the website, go to wherever, and what do you see? You see nothing but one fire after another going on in the world. The world has gone mad. It's burning up. In our own country right now, I'm seeing colleges and universities with students marching and protesting pro-Palestine, pro-Hamas after the horrific things that we experienced on October 7th. I'm wondering how many of our students understand the real historical significance of Israel and God's chosen people. Why isn't it being taught today in the schools and the education systems? I don't have the answers to that, but what I can do is give you a challenge right now. Make sure your children and your grandchildren know why Israel is important, why God's chosen people, why the Jewish people are so important. All lives are important. All lives are important to God. He sees the big picture. But this little strip of land was given as a promise. You can talk about all the persecutions in the world, racism and everything. Who was the most persecuted in the world of all races? You will come back and you will see the Jewish people time and time again have been persecuted in ways we can't even imagine. I've seen a lot of reasons why some theologists think this is the case, is that most Jewish people have a tendency to overcome. They succeed in everything they do. Despite anything that you throw at them, they succeed, they overcome. I'm wondering, are we overcomers? Are you and I able to overcome? Are we able to be the salt and light of the earth? To pray for everyone? God's heart is grieved right now. Does God love the Palestinian people? Absolutely. Does God love those in Gaza? Absolutely. Does he care? Yes. But God also has a time and a purpose in his actions, in his ways, that we'll never understand until we come face to face with him. But we have to trust in him that his way is higher than our ways. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. But here's the confusion. Questions people often ask are, is there a second blessing required for everyone? Can we walk in God's love and power if we have only just received the Spirit and have not been baptized in the Spirit? Is there a difference between receiving the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit? Is it a choice to receive God's empowering by faith? Or is there an experience required? Is tongues the only sign that we have been filled with the Spirit? Those are common questions and areas of confusion that a lot of people have. Let me try to give you some answers. Now again, I'm not the authority. God is the authority. I'm a messenger today to share with you what his word says. But I believe much of the confusion occurs because we have a misunderstanding of the terminology. So in review, God the Holy Spirit works with us, works with you and I, to lead us to who? To Christ. That's the first thing. The second thing, he comes in us to indwell, oh, not for a while, not for a one night. He indwells with us permanently. That's what he desires. The next one, he comes upon us for a supernatural empowering to be his witness. If you ever had an experience where all of a sudden you didn't know what to say to somebody, and all of a sudden that spirit just says, say this, and you say it, and you're going like, where'd that come from? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And that it continually refills us so that God's life can continue to flow from our hearts into other lives. And how does he do that? He asks us to share our testimony of his love with everyone we meet. When was the last time you witnessed about your testimony, how God brought you out of the pit to who you are today? So important. The Holy Spirit working with us, coming in us and coming upon us are all gifts of God because he loves us. And by faith of the Spirit in our souls every day, it's our own responsibility. And God, of course, is the one who will fill us. And he's hindered from doing so if we don't choose to surrender ourselves to him. Have you made him the Lord of your life? Well, yeah, Terry, I've made him the Lord of my life. Really? Everything? I'm guilty of that. I'd still love to turn on that football game at night and watch how the Ducks came after USC and they destroyed them last night. And I get excited. But you know what? If that game would have gone the opposite direction, I probably would have been mad, shaking my head at the screen. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. What's the most important thing? God. God's way. We need to yield to him, surrender to him. And let me tell you some key things. Born again refers to receiving the Spirit of God into our hearts. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be born again, my friends. Baptism of the Spirit refers to the initial infilling of our souls with the Spirit of God for empowering in order that we might be the true witness of Christ. That's the baptism of the Spirit. The refilling refers to the daily filling of our cleansed souls with God's life from our hearts, his love, his wisdom, his power. This is the fullness of Christ. Experience his life in place of our own. That's what we're trying to do. We want to become more like him. That happens through what? Sanctification, right? That's what we want to look for. And then finally, anointing. What does it mean, anointed? It means refers to a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit for a specific task. Often when Carrie gets ready to preach here on Sunday, he would normally be standing here at the pulpit. If he calls on me to pray for him, one of the prayers I always ask is, Father, I pray if it be your will that your anointing fall upon Pastor Carrie for such a time as this. Why? Because I want the power of his words not coming from him, the man, but of God and the Spirit. And he knows that. And I don't think any one of us would question Pastor Carrie's love, Natalie's love for Christ. What a great role model in this little church, an example of what they've done. I'm so blessed to be a part of the fellowship here with each and every one of you. I count my blessings every day. Final thing I want to touch on really quickly as we wrap it up. Fountain of water. What does that mean? To help explain the ministry of the Holy Spirit a little bit more clearly, the Spirit of God is often spoken of in Scripture as the eternal fountain or well of water springing up from within us. Some of you know that old song, Spring Up, Oh Well, right? It's the Spirit. It's the fountain. The living water begins in the deepest parts of our hearts where God's Spirit now resides and wells up within us until it's overflowing. When they see you, they know that person is filled with the Holy Spirit. Because it comes across. It spills out. It's that infectious. It's that good. In John 4:1-4, this is the last scripture I want to give you this morning. Speaking of the Spirit, Jesus says this, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will what? Never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, a well of water does not fill up from the outside inward, like filling a glass from the water, but a well of water fills up from the inside where the source is, upward until it's overflowing. So the way we are daily filled in God's Spirit is from the inside where God's Spirit now dwells, upward and outward. See that? It has to start in here and it has to come out. This fullness of God is what we're talking about today. The sevenfold Spirit of God is that you and I be the mind of Christ. It's a continual refilling and overflowing of God's Spirit in a cleanse and empty vessel. I don't know if you're like me, the first time I heard that, the sevenfold Spirit of God, some people call it just the Spirit of God, the seven spirits of God. The reason I say sevenfold is because if you miss any one of those parts, you don't have the fullness of God. You need to have all seven. And that gift comes through the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is really, really powerful. Our life today is a testimony to the other people around us, our friends, our loved ones, of what we believe and why we believe it. And if we have the Spirit of God walking with us, He's going to equip us with everything that we need to say the right things, to pray, to help, and to give people hope in a world that's gone very dark, that we be the light of the world, the salt and light of the world. There's going to be a day that will come where this little church may be the only light that people have to go to. They'll want to be here. They'll be drawn because of you and I to hear what is truth. Jesus is coming soon, and we need to be prepared. All right. If I could have, let's see.